Our first scripture this morning is from the Old Testament. It's found on page 681. It's from Isaiah, the 50th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Isaiah 50, 4 through 9. The servant's humiliation and vindication. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11, and may be found on page 197 in your pew Bible. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, death even on the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name, so that at that name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight. My Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. What a holy week. What an auspicious beginning for what some thought was going to be the week in which Christ, the Messiah, all of the Old Testament predictions or prophecies were being fulfilled, not yet fulfilled within him, but were being fulfilled up to this point. Many believed that he was the Messiah. Many believed that he was, if not in their image the Messiah, certainly a king like David, who would cast off the yoke of oppression and the slavery to Rome and free them and establish a Jewish kingdom on the earth again, just as David and Solomon had, and restore that greatness and to throw off the yoke of the Romans. And here's this king. He rides in on the back of a donkey. Children and people, simple people, are laying down palms in front of him and singing, "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Celebrate!" They were ready. They were ready to celebrate. And because he didn't do what they expected, because he didn't cast out the Romans, he didn't call for armies, legions of angels to come in and the power of God to cast out the Romans and establish what they wanted as an earthly kingdom and glory, He disappoints them. He disappoints them because what they were hoping for, what they were expecting, was not what God had expected or anticipated or planned for them. You see, it wasn't about greatness of the humanity that Jesus came for. It was for the love of God that would restore the weak, the sinful, the shamed, the proud, the weak, the afflicted. He came to restore them to a right relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. That Holy Trinity. Jesus' purpose in His life and His coming was to restore that order to the universe. And He was going to do it in a way that none of them foresaw. None of them understood at the time. The disciples, He'd been praying and preaching to them for almost 3 years. They were clueless. I'm going to Jerusalem. Oh, you're not going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. And 3 days later, I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it back up again. See this temple? I'll destroy it. And in 3 days, I'll restore it. Well, it took 70 years for Him to restore the temple. Jesus did it in 3 days. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. It's a very short letter. And what he's doing is he's telling them about the love of Christ. He's telling about the sacrifice of Christ. He's telling about the purpose for Christ's coming, for His death, His resurrection, and the hope for Him to come again. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. The Lord's Prayer. What did we pray today? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The great commandment. Love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Wrap your head around that one. The same mindset. And then Paul articulates what that mindset was. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see this mindset of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, people asked Him, "Oh Lord, feed us again with miracles." And He said, "I come not to do my will. I come to do the will of God." Well, He didn't leave them hanging. He said in John 6, as He continues, "I come to do the will of God. And the will of God is this, that no one given to me by the Father will be lost. They'll be raised up on that last day." That's Christ's purpose. And the only way to accomplish that was to humble Himself. I mean, He fed 5,000 and all He did was get a little lad to contribute some fish and some loaves of bread. He stood outside Lazarus' tomb and it was stinking bad there because he'd been dead 4 days. And He says, "Lazarus, come out." And he does. The blind to see again. The lame to leap again. The 10 lepers sends them off to the temple because they're clean and only one of them comes back to thank Him. How many miracles had God performed through Jesus Christ? How many miracles did Jesus show to demonstrate who He was? He humbled Himself. When it says here in verse 7, but he emptied himself. Now, that's not to say that he took himself as a cup and poured it all out so that there's nothing left in it. But what he does is he pours himself into humanity, into human form, becomes like us. And the cup is still full, not half full. The cup is still full because there's an inexhaustible supply of His grace, His love, and His mercy. He humbled Himself, taking form as a slave, born in human likeness, being found in human form, humbled Himself, became obedient to the point of death. The writer of this book, Paul, taken to Rome and judged, and because he's a Roman citizen, he pays the penalty of death, but they lop off his head with a sword. Peter, another apostle, tradition says he goes to Rome and they crucify him upside down. To the point of death, even death on a cross. You cannot die a more pain-filled way. The reason the Romans used that as an example of their power and might, and God takes that through Christ Jesus and turns this power, this instrument of pain, this instrument of dominion, this instrument of you will obey or you will die, and He turns it into an instrument of love. How much does God love you? How much does God love the world? With every drop of blood, with every breath of His body, enough to hang on a tree for 6 hours and bleed, so you and I can be restored to a relationship with God, the Creator. God also highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The last phrase in that 11th verse, that was great, Mia, because that set the tone. This is an end. That Jesus is Lord, comma, to the glory of God, the Father. Everything He did in His life, everything He did in His death, everything He did following that is to the glory of God, the Father, the Creator, for you and for me. We can celebrate and sing Hosanna today. On Thursday, we will wash hands and receive communion. And then we'll remember the betrayal of Christ Jesus as the paraments are stripped from the altar. And on Good Friday, we will remember His sacrifice. And Saturday is the silence that follows the sacrifice. You know, we look to Sunday coming, yes. It's been a long, arduous Lent. Yes, we can celebrate. Absolutely. But it's because Jesus Christ did what was called of Him. He took on a body just like you and I. Like you and me. And He suffered and bled and died for us. That's how much He loves you. Be of the same mind of God. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Let Him be Lord of your heart, Lord of your mind, your soul, and your strength. And show and demonstrate that love of God to your brothers and sisters. For there truly is peace. Shalom.